Welcome to the Undefeated Podcast with Sara. Did you know that you don't need to live feeling defeated in any area of your life? I believe a huge part of us learning to live from the place of victory is learning to see from God's perspective and discern what's heaven's agenda in this particular season in your life and in the world around you. In this podcast, we will practice discerning what God is doing, both regarding our individual journeys and corporately, so that we can partner with Him in seeing His kingdom come and will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven, and live our lives undefeated. A little while ago, I came to church early, as I usually do, to get the dance teams ready and have enough time to make sure everything is set up and have enough time to pray and warm up and stretch and all of that. And when I came in, the worship team was doing their sound check. And one of the worship leaders says out loud in a mic, the set list. And I'm honestly not sure if he did it on purpose to be funny or if he was even aware of what he just said. But he called the titles of these two songs one after another. He goes, Jesus be the center, and so will I. And it made me crack up because unfortunately, too often that is the truth for all of us, that we try to get the center stage in our own lives. And just to clarify, both of these two songs are actually beautiful and powerful songs on their own. The So Will I song is by Hillsong, and it has the chorus that says that if creation still obeys you, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. And so on and so forth. And so that's actually a really beautiful song. It's not about putting myself in the center. It's about worshiping Jesus. But it was just the context, how the titles were mentioned. And so the other song, the Jesus Be the Center, or I'm actually not sure if the actual title is Jesus at the Center. And I think it's by Israel Houghton. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but anyway, sorry to butcher that name. But that song goes, Jesus at the center of it all, Jesus at the center of it all, from beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you are the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. And as I was thinking about this song this week, and I feel like it's been a song that we have sang a lot recently, and I feel like that's really what God is doing in this season, that He's really wanting us to have Jesus at the center of everything, and that really is the whole, like, the order of heaven, that Jesus doesn't want to just be competing for a place on our priority list, but he actually wants to be the center of it all. And the only way to follow Jesus is to have him at the center of everything. And I think most times when we get frustrated in our walk with the Lord, the reason is that we have taken him from the center stage and we try to be the lords of our own lives. And I think often when we start feeling that we are getting choked up over our own disappointments or broken dreams or failures to meet our own goals and all of that stuff, that the best medicine is to remind ourselves that my life is not about me, that it's not about my pleasure or my fulfilled dreams or my achieved goals, that I don't actually even belong to myself, that I belong to Jesus and my life is all about his pleasure and his dreams being fulfilled through me. And don't get me wrong, God is good and he does care about our hearts and our dreams and all of that. But if we build our own lives with ourselves in the center, it's actually never going to be a fulfilling life. And the truth is that we experience the greatest pleasure when we have Jesus at the center. And yes, there are times when we can feel the cost of laying down our lives and our dreams for the kingdom of heaven. But when we truly start knowing Jesus, there is no cost too high to pay to get to be with him and to be his beloved and his companion and to get to share the secrets of his heart. And I know that, you know, even for myself, if I start looking at the circumstances and everything that's going on around me, and I could easily start drowning into my own hopelessness. And I've actually been through some of my own greatest emotional battles quite recently when it literally has felt like I'm starting to drown. But it's like the same scenario as when Peter was walking on the water. You remember the story? I'm not going to read the whole story because I'm sure you all remember that. But it was like as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was literally above his circumstances walking on water. But it was the moment he lost eye contact with Jesus and started looking at his surroundings, that's when he started sinking. And I know from personal experience that anytime I start imagining future without Jesus or even present, that's when I start sinking into whatever hopelessness or fear. But the good news is that often it's just a very quick adjustment and a change of perspective. I just lift up my eyes to Jesus and I just need to see Jesus. I just need to see his face. I just need to have him in the center of my thinking, in the center of my future. And I know that it will all be okay. And I was thinking of the title of this whole podcast. It's called Undefeated. And how the only way how we can live our lives undefeated is actually to have Jesus in the center for everything, like for every part of our lives, that he needs to be the center. And I was reading the verse from Colossians 1, so I think verses 15 through 20. I'll read this from NIV first. It says that the Son, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Like, that is the gospel, that Jesus is the center. I want to read this same verse also from, or these couple of verses from the Passion Translation. It says that he is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. For in him was created the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen, every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority. It all exists through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Wow, I love the gospel. And I feel like this whole theme of like us making sure that we are putting Jesus in the center, I feel like that has even come out in so many different ways with our dance community. And I kind of laughed about it too, that like recently, actually during throughout this whole school year this year for BSSM, our School of Ministry, where I'm pastoring lots of dancers, it has felt like we have done so much dancing in circles in both our classes and corporate worship times, like probably more than ever before. And even that has felt like a prophetic act, that we are not just facing a certain direction, but we are all facing the center. We are all like placing Jesus right at the center of everything, and that everything revolves around him. And I know that it's so important that we have Jesus at the center of all of our, you know, corporate gatherings and all of that. But at the same time, there's no shortcuts for intimacy on a personal level. And I feel like that's been the call from the heart of Jesus. And I feel it personally too. And it feels like that's his call for all who hear and all who want to come closer and be like in that place of instant connection with his heart. And I feel like this call to intimacy, that we actually need to have Jesus at the center for our own personal lives. And that's where the authority to release things also corporately
even in our corporate worship gatherings comes from, that we can't just have Jesus at the center of our meetings, but we actually have to have him at the center of everything that we do. And I was recently listening to a teaching, I think it was by Michael Koulianos. It was from Jesus Image anyway, and he's the leader there. And he was talking about the fact that how in the Song of Songs it talks about the daughters of Jerusalem, and he said that he feels like that's kind of the concept of the wider church. So all the church going people are kind of like the daughters of Jerusalem. But then the Song of Songs talks about the Shulamite, who is just so set apart and so hungry, and nothing else will do, but he needs to be with the bridegroom, and that how in our time and age, like, there is even starting to be a greater gap between those groups of people, that there are the daughters of Jerusalem who are, you know, they have received Jesus, they are saved, and all of that, but the passion in their hearts for the Lord has faded away, and obviously the goal is, like, Jesus wants to awaken all of our hearts so that we all would be like the Shulamites who is so passionately in love with Jesus that nothing else will do, and that it's our joy to actually draw near to him, that there is no price that's too high to pay to be in his presence. And I feel like even for me personally in this recent season, like, I have felt such, like, a tenderness in my heart, and like the call to just come and be with Jesus. And like, I felt like I've needed to like skip some and deny some invitations to some like social gatherings, just to have time to be alone with Jesus. And I felt the call to, like, also, like, find ways to connect with him that I haven't even been doing for a while, like pulling out my guitar, which I did last week. I'm not a very good guitar player or songwriter, but I remember that used to be the thing in my, like, early 20s and even teenage years, where I just remember, like, spending hours and hours in the presence of Jesus, just singing my heart out to him and singing scriptures, just grabbing the Bible and singing psalms to him, and just from that place of passionate love for him. And I know that, like, you know, it's not that I don't have passion for him. It feels like my passion for him has been expressed through different ways more recently. Like, obviously, I think all of you know that I dance a lot for him, and oftentimes that's the way how I express my heart to him. But I've been feeling this thing, like, God is calling us to even, like, return, to go back into things we did at first, and even just, like, doing things that you haven't done for a long time, whether it's, like, going for prayer walks and connecting with Jesus like that, or writing poems for him, or painting, or yeah, I mean, it could be any kind of way of expressing your heart to him. But I feel like there is this call to, like, just seek ways to connect with his heart, and to find his heart, and really, like, do things that actually take time, that it's not just a token prayer that we throw to him or read a couple of verses whilst we are drinking our coffee or getting ready to go, but actually intentionally seeking his heart and seeking his presence. And I think sometimes, like, I think all of us sometimes act like little kids who, you know, like, when we feel that tug on our spirit to spend time with him, it can feel like we turn into those little kids who need to take a nap, but they fight against it with all they might, and they come up with all the other things and distractions until they finally give in and fall asleep. And I feel like I've been feeling that tension even for myself, like the moments when I have felt the tug in my spirit, like, hey, now it's time to go and just take some time to spend with the Lord. Like, I feel like I've been fighting against some of those moments. And even with like a practical example last week before I grabbed my guitar, I was thinking of all the other things and all the other excuses, like, no, maybe I'll do my laundry first, or I'll do this and that, and just try to distract myself. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do it. And I grabbed my guitar, and it turned into such a powerful time where I felt the presence of Jesus in such a tangible way. And I think my encouragement for you guys this week is like, just go make space, create time to connect with the Lord. And I know that sometimes, you know, we all have times even when we just, you know, we want to numb the pain that we carry by, I don't know, watching a show or just doing something else, getting distracted with something else. And I, again, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong about watching shows or taking time to chill out. There's obviously time and place for that. But I feel like this is a time where God is really calling us, and that this is a time, you know, how the parable where Jesus talks about the 10 virgins and the 5 were gathering the oil and taking time, that making sure that they had the oil in their lamps. And I feel like this really is the time to make sure that we have lamp in our oils. I mean oil in our lamps, but also lamps. It's good to have the lamps too. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, we want to put you in the center of our lives, center of our hearts, center of everything that we're doing. Lord, nothing else matters compared to knowing you, compared to knowing your presence. Lord, we don't want to get distracted from what's the most important. I thank you that you said only one thing is needed. Yeah, Lord, we want to be the Marys who take the time to sit at your feet. Yeah, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you, it's your heart's desire to, like, you want to be near us. And Lord, that it's for actually our own best that we get to be near you, because it's in your presence that we get to be transformed into your likeness, that it's in your presence that you take away all of our own pain. And Lord, where you restore, you make us whole, you make us new. Yeah. And Jesus, we choose you. We choose you no matter what the cost. Yeah. And Lord, I just ask for even just fresh encounters in your presence for each person who happens to be listening to this episode. Yeah, and I thank you, God, that there's no condemnation or judgment from your heart for us having had moments where we tried to be the ones who are in the center, but it's your loving kindness that leads us into repentance. Yeah. Lord, that you are always ready, Lord, whenever we start sinking, whenever we have lost our focus on you, when we start sinking and drowning in our own worries or fears or pain, Lord, that it's just that little shift that we just lift up our heads, we lift up our eyes to see you, and Lord, you meet us right there. Lord, that you are so full of grace. And that your grace empowers us, that your grace even empowers us to keep an eye contact with you. Yeah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen. And I also just wanted to say at the end of this episode that I may not be recording these podcasts as frequently as I have, because I do really feel the call to be in the secret place with the Lord, and I'm just gonna see how it goes, how much grace I feel for recording these words. But if you don't hear from me for a while, that is why. But we will see. But I love you all. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.